Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
John Landecker, 735. Yeah, vacation. A lot of people taking them with the family. In fact, according to a recent survey by AutoNation Incorporated, 80% of Americans are going to take a summer road trip. That's what we're talking about here. Not just vacation, but a road trip with the kids and the family. And that's why we've got Dr. Rebecca Jackson, who's Vice President of Programs and Outcomes for Brain Balance, who you've seen on TV, Huffington Post, Forbes, to The Day Show, NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, ABC's The Doctor Show, just about everywhere, Dr. Jackson. I mean...
but not in the car with my kids, all those places.
I'm fine. I'm glad I can add my name to your list of places that you've appeared. This is one of my, you know, I have to say, it's been a while since my kids were of the age where we would plan road trips or car trips, or, you know, when I was of the age with my parents planning road trips and car trips. But I have to say, they were my absolute favorite thing to do. I just, when summer rolled around and we were going to go somewhere, there was just nothing like it. And I've been reading some of your observations here, and I think it'd be very valuable to share them with the WGN listener who may be doing exactly what we're talking about, getting ready to go on a road trip. So can I just give you these headlines and you can respond to them? Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Get your kids involved in the planning of the trip.
You know, this is one of my favorite parts of a road trip, is the planning of it. And as parents, especially as a mom, I have a vision of how I want things to go. I have an agenda. I've got, you know, those picture perfect moments I want of my kids and family for Instagram. It doesn't always happen. But I can't be the only one that's excited about this. And so getting your kids excited about where you're going is really important too. And our agenda and what we find interesting with history and nature isn't always what the kids love. And so I love when you pick a destination, find opportunities for the kids to learn about that area as well, and let them have some choice and a voice in the planning too. It doesn't mean they need to plan everything, but you know, to read something and what's something that they would like to do with that area. So whether it's they research online or watch a fun movie that has nothing to do with history, but it shows the area so they can find landmarks and sites that they want to see as well, but let them have a voice in the planning.
Yeah, that just sounds like a generally smart approach, because even if you're able to manipulate the conclusion, it's nice for them to believe that they had a part in it.
Exactly. Strategic.
Yeah, I don't know how else to put it, but no, that's a great idea. I mean, that brings the family together, not just when the trip is on, but sitting down beforehand for who knows how long to discuss, you know, where we're going to go, what we're going to see, what do you guys like about this or don't like about it, or what do you think we should? And I'm not just talking about McDonald's or Dairy Queens. I'm talking about actual places that might be of historical value. And then you have another one that says, let your kids navigate. How does that work?
Oh, gosh, I have mixed feelings on this one, but I think it's really important. I have memories of sitting in the front seat of the car with my dad driving, a map in my lap, upside down, frustrated. But that skill is so important. And, you know, we don't use maps anymore. We all have our phone and our cars speak to us and tell us where to go and when. But that's an important part of our brain that ties into memory and ties into spatial reasoning, things that we use and other aspects of life. If you're trying to plan how to build a deck, you need spatial reasoning. And so to pull out an old school map and a pen and a highlighter can be an entertaining process for the kids. You don't have to depend on them to get you there, but for them to see, you know, here's where we are, here's where we need to end up. Can you figure out what roads we need to take in order to get there? Is going to keep them mentally engaged and occupied for a little while on life skills that just may serve them and help them down the road. And then they get to see along the way, what are some of the small towns or one of the landmarks you know, lakes and rivers we're going to pass along the way. So you tell me what I should be looking for. So getting them, again, actively engaged in the process.
It strikes me, too, that something could be done where if the car is not equipped with a navigation system, then I'm sure the parent's phone has, you know, Waze or what, Google Maps or whatever, and can be displayed in some automobiles on a screen and others just on the screen of the phone. But it shows where the roads go. And you could, I suppose, incorporate that and a real map at the same time to sort of, okay, do you see where this GPS is taking us? Well, let's take a look at that piece of paper before we had the GPS and see if you can locate on the old-fashioned map where the GPS is taking us.
Or can you predict the fastest paths as Waze agree or disagree with you? You know, what do you think I should do up here? Let's see if Google agrees.
Exactly. So turning a technology into a participatory game, you got a real map, you got a Google map, you got Waze. Which one of these at this particular juncture has got it right and which one's got it wrong? And hey, kids, what's your recommendation on the way we go? I love this stuff. I just love it. And then obviously you would let the kids, you know, you're starting the whole process by having them be involved in the planning, the navigation. So they should also probably have a say in where you're going to stop, I would think.
Absolutely. And, you know, as a mom, I'm the bossy one in the family, right? We talked about my agenda, but it's everybody likes to be the teacher sometimes. And so, again, allowing them to plan. And part of traveling involves a lot of restaurants and a lot of good behavior when the family is tired and hungry. And so planning time where the kids don't have to be on best behavior is so important. And so if the kids want to eat outside at a rest stop or at a park where they can run around and play, that can benefit the whole family. And so asking the kids on this next stretch between this town and this town, it's 4 hours. Where do you want to stop? Do you want to choose a town and find a restaurant? Do you want to do a picnic? What are you in the mood for? Again, it's listening to their voice, because if we push too hard and try to schedule too much, it can often backfire.
Yeah, and I think if it's a long trip that requires, you know, you're going to be in the car a lot of hours. I remember with my parents, they would always, we'd stop at a restaurant every once in a while, but they would usually opt for some sort of picnic motif, either, you know, at a rest stop or even just some, this was a long time ago, so there were places alongside country roads that would actually have picnic tables under trees that were just there for anyone to use. And, you know, we'd stop and get out of the car, stretch our legs. My brother and I'd go running around like idiots and burn off a lot of excess energy. And then when it was time to start up again, we were ready to go because we'd sort of cut loose for a while. I think that's...
And John, going to say, it's so key. Look at what a simple moment that was. But all these years later, you remember that. That was different, right? So we don't need to plan completely over the top, expensive, exaggerated experiences for our kids in order to make memories together and have fun together as a family. And so if you have special foods that you only have at a picnic, I love having a cooler along because I don't love eating out three meals every day, day after day. Yeah. And so if you've got, you know, a sheet and some of your foods and snacks that you do that are different from day to day at home, and something as simple as a Frisbee, you can do something different for the kids that's still time together, that doesn't need to cost an arm and a leg, that still keeps you on track for getting to your destination.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, I can recall those roadside picnics just like they were yesterday. And had such a, what's the term, ambiance or feel to it. They were more like you're in the country, you know, the air smells differently, things are just fresher, and as long as the weather cooperated, it was just really, really, a really good time, and I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, you don't have to go. I mean, I don't think kids really care whether or not you go to a four-star restaurant or a four-star hotel or anything like that. I think they're just looking for a good time, and they'll find it wherever they can. And sometimes that's the most innocent, you know, non-technical, complicated thing to do. As you say, like a Frisbee, you know.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yep.
When I would go, one of my favorite things with traveling with my family, when we would go into, you know, like, say, the Blue Ridge Mountains or something of a, you know, you'd get off the beaten track and you'd be going through these different areas and you'd come upon these, they're obviously tourist traps, but they were, as a kid, they were really, I just thought they were cool because they had, like, crazy toys and, you know, bumper stickers and all sorts of candy. And I mean, they were waiting for you, but it was very small and very just very local and very low key and just a lot of fun. And I felt that my parents, you know, balanced it a bit with being trips to the city. I mean, we went to New York once, but also like into the country, you know, into these areas where you're traveling way off the beaten path and run across, you know, the local store, so to speak, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think for our kids, again, what's going to create experiences and make memories for them is experiencing something different than what they live day to day. So for my family, we live in the suburbs of Raleigh. And so going to someplace like Chicago is really exciting mm-hmm. because it's that big city experience and big city environment with the skyscrapers and the lake. It's just a beautiful, busy city compared to where we live.
Right.
But there's also beauty and value. Last summer, we drove from Chicago to Minnesota. And stopping along the way in a small town in Wisconsin, my kids live in a mid-sized city. And so also experiencing small town life of the diner where you walk in, you feel like
yep.
everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
And then like you said earlier, the picnic in the country, our kids remember what's different. And part of our opportunity in this summer is to expose them to things that they don't see and experience every day. And things that we may take for granted might be making a memory or having an impression on our kids. This is our chance to expand their horizons, to see other people, other regions, other cultures, to know that the world doesn't look exactly like it does on your block everywhere, and there's value and interest to find everywhere. And we'll play the game, what's same or different, especially when the kids were younger, is you walk into some place, you know, a really busy hotel in Chicago, and, you know, gosh, what's different about this hotel than the last time we were in a hotel someplace else? And they notice, you know, there's 20 floors in this hotel, not three. So helping them to clue in to some of those differences that aren't good or bad, they're just different and can help them experience different areas and regions.
We're talking to Dr. Rebecca Jackson about taking your kids on a road trip, and we'll do more of that when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, I'm John Landecker. Thank you for tuning in. Planning a road trip with the kids. We're talking about that very thing with Dr. Rebecca Jackson, who is the Vice President of Programs and Outcomes for Brain Balance. And we're going over some education road trips for families, and it's been great, doctor, but it just occurred to me, what advice would you have about weaning the kids away from all of their quote-unquote devices, their iPads, mm-hmm. their phones, their tablets, you know, the things that they are just glued to on a day-to-day basis, but then, you know, you want to get out on a family trip and you want to get away from that. And I can't believe that that's an easy task.
It's not. And John, my kids are middle school and high school, so we're in the throes of that. I know that all too well. But it applies to us as adults as well, so that we can be present in there and engage with our kids and setting aside some routines and habits that have become really ingrained these last couple of years. On a road trip, I think it's so important to set boundaries and expectations before you get in the car. So that way you're not frustrated and upset, but you set some expectations for the trip of every day. There's going to be time where you can do as much of that as you'd like for X amount of time. And then there's going to be time where all of us, adults included, are going to set it aside so we can engage. One of the things for especially our young kids, but it applies to all of us, is if our kids spend a lot of time gaming or on social media, it can actually be tiring to the brain. It's burning through resources as you're processing all of that information. So you may notice an increase in challenging or negative behaviors in your child after several hours on their devices.
Yeah.
So to avoid having a negative, surly child that doesn't want to engage, doesn't want to cooperate, keeping that technology usage to a shorter amount of time, and then really balancing it with physical activity and social engagement. So finding that combination of, yep, until 11 a.m. or for the first hour or the last hour we're in the car, do all of that you want, but here's what we're going to do when that's off. And so set the expectation up front, do it as a family, and find that balance. Easier said than done, I know.
Oh, yeah.
But those are tips to help lead to some more positives with family engagement and not fighting the technology.
While we were away during the break, I asked my producer, Brendan, if he had ever taken a family trip. And he said, oh, yeah, I threw up in my sister's sand bucket on the way back from trip to Florida. And it took me back. My brother, I never got carsick. I don't even know if people still do, but my brother
they
did.
They do. I've got a nephew and a niece that are pukers. For sure.
But, you know, I said to him, and you remember it to this very day, and he said, mm-hmm. Yeah, my sister's still mad at me. How many years ago mm-hmm. was that, do you think? 20, 15, 25?
Easily 25 years ago.
Easily 25. You see, because even things that seem to be not so much fun at the time can, time plus, what is it? Tragedy plus time equals comedy, or some equation like that. But they,
Schadenfreude is the word you're looking for, perhaps?
Is that it? Could be.
It might be.
You know, my brother used to, we go to a restaurant, and usually we just travel with my mom, because my dad was a college professor and was always grading papers or something or other. And we'd stop at a restaurant, and this is, years ago, and they'd have tabs of butter at the table. They would be individual tabs of butter on little square pieces of paper. And, when my mom would leave to go to the restroom or something, my brother would start scarfing these things down one after the other, which is, of course, not a healthy thing to do. And why do I remember it so vividly? Well, it's just one of those items from taking a family trip that you'd never counted on when you were planning, but it stuck around for decades and decades. And I just think that's part of the joy of going out with a family is coming back with unexpected memories that may be initially not that great, but last, years and years later, everybody gets back together and goes, oh, remember when he threw up? Gosh, that was hysterical.
You spend all this money on plans and it's a mishap.
Yeah, exactly.
You, right?
Exactly. Do people still play? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of my other tips that I think is just fun for the kids in creating memories is photography. This is a positive with their phone and devices. And there's the sentiment of if you're so busy taking pictures, you're not there enjoying the moment. Mm-hmm. However, there's a flip side.
We've got to import more doses from a factory in Denmark.
Whoa,
Hold
on a second. We're hearing something from somewhere. I'm sorry
there
about
we go.
That. Yeah, we're back.
I was afraid I was talking too long. So if when you're taking pictures, if you focus on a particular element, so if you ask your kids to take a picture, but if you focus on capturing the color or if you focus on an element of the photo that you're taking, you're actually more likely to remember that scene or moment than if you didn't take a photo at all. But if you're just aimlessly taking pictures, you're less likely to remember the moment. But if you really focus on a key detail in the photo, it can actually enhance that memory.
Driving by famous landmarks, that's something that you could incorporate on your travels, I believe, right?
Absolutely. And again, have the kids take the map out, mark those landmarks, find them, and then let them play teacher or tour guide for it. Kids love to be the teacher. They love to have a captive audience. And so as you're driving, if there is technology time allowed at that point, have them look something up and read about that landmark and monument. And then when the family gets there, they get to have their turn of telling you everything that they remembered or found interesting about that landmark. And then let the next kid take the lead the next time.
Well, Dr. Johnson, thank you so much for spending time with us this half hour at WGN. It's been great talking to you about these family trips, not only hearing your advice, but having it stimulate a lot of great memories. Thanks again for being with us, and happy trails to you,
you
and
too,
your family.
You.
You bet.
Take care.